Blog Talk Radio.
In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you know it, that it is in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. If there was ever a time that we need to be reminded that God is the source and the element of our existence, and a very purposeful manifestation of our existence, that time is here and now. And we're thanking God. Yes, we're thanking God, not only on this day, but every day that we are in the land of the living. On this glorious and victorious day it is, another day that the Lord has made, that we should rejoice and be glad in it. It is Sunday. Yes, it is. Can you believe it? Sunday came pretty quick. It is Sunday, the 18th of the glorious month of June, 2023. Let me tell you something. We've been on the road. We've been ministering the word of God. We've been ministering through the manifold of the spiritual gifts. And the spiritual gifts are operative in those who seek God's presence, those who seek God's faith, those who have sanctified themselves through the word. See, sanctification is not a religious establishment or an organization. It is a state of mind that reflects upon the heart. And in reflecting upon the heart, the hands cooperate. This is why King David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Because sanctification is not an external process that reflects in the inside. It's an internalized progression that reflects on the external level or the temporal or visible level. And this is what we must keep in remembrance as we go through our path, as we travel this pilgrim's journey. And let me tell you something. The pilgrim's journey is something that dropped in my spirit. I was praying. I said, Lord, we know about the manner of speaking. We know about the manner from on high. We know about the manner of praying, the manner of restoration. Lord, we're going to the next level. What do we do? Where do we go from here? And just like a blossoming flower that opens up and reveals its awesome beauty, the pilgrim's journey came to me. And I began to think through my spiritual thoughts and concepts. See, we have to allow the mind of Christ to overstep our carnal mind. Because remember something. Remember this. The carnal mind is enmity. It means it's an opposing force. Oftentimes going in the other direction of which God has commanded. So we who think only with the carnal mind, with the carnal aspects of our being, we can't please God. Yes, we know that faith without works is dead, but at the same time, we have to allow the power of our spiritual mind to overthrow and to overstep the level of our physical existence so that we're able to tap in to the very miraculous omnipotence of God's presence in the universe. And this is a journey. Don't think that because you become a Christian, that means that you have given your life over to the Lord and you no longer desire and hunger and lust after the things in the world, that you're not going to have to go through progressive steps. Because there are progressive steps. And this is something that is not taught oftentimes in various congregational establishments because people want to feel good. They want to be able to get up and to shout and express emotional gratification. That's fine. It has its place. But know this. This is not a straightforward path. Sometimes the path can veer and bend because you're faced with challenges, with obstacles that you're going to have to get out of yourself and trust God to guide you through the Holy Spirit. Deliverance sometimes is a step-by-step progression. Sometimes God is cleansing things out of us that we didn't even know existed within us. This is the word of knowledge, and this is the operation of the Holy Spirit. Please listen. Call a neighbor, call a friend, a coworker, a family member, and tell them to tune in, because this is a powerful word to those who grasp it. Oftentimes there's things within us, we're praying, we're asking God to do a certain thing in our lives. But God sees that there's something in us. Oh, just like he purges the floor, sometimes he has to purge us of things that are not good and beneficial to our existence. And this is what we call the cleansing process. And again, it's not external to the internal. People say, well, you know, I no longer wear these kinds of clothes. I don't wear this color of hair. That's external. See, man judges the outer appearance, but God judges the heart. It's things within us. As Jesus spake to the Pharisees, you know, they were religiously prognosticers. He said, you clean up the outside of the cup. He said, but inwardly the cup is filthy. And sometimes God has to extract things from us. That means he has to break certain relationships, certain connections that have not been profitable to us, and remove us from those circumstances. Remove people from within our inner circle. Remove certain behaviors from our character. Pride. And let me tell you something about pride. Sometimes we don't even know we have pride. And see, the scripture says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. And God sees this within us. And before he can give us that dynamic breakthrough that we've been crying, we've been praying and been fasting about and been waiting for, God has to cleanse us. And let me tell you something. When God cleanses you of certain characteristics that are not favorable to the spiritual man, it's not a very easy and pleasant process. Because sometimes we're made to look at ourselves and see ourselves just as the way we are. We look in the mirror and say, oh, I look pretty good, but inwardly, how is that inner man looking? Well, this is what God does. He purges us. Not because he despises us and he wants to punish us, but he loves us so much, he does not want us to fall to failure. And let me tell you something, God has dealt bountifully even with me. Many people believe that, oh, but you're an instructor of scripture, that you are anointed of God to speak prophetical words. You're anointed to speak words of encouragement. You pray the prayer of breakthrough and it comes through. Don't you know that this is a going and growing process? The scripture tells us we go from grace to grace, and from faith to faith. And now we see the road in which we travel. But see, through spiritual eyes, we see obstacles. And Jesus told us, through the power of knowing who he is and what he does, getting it off the spotlight off of ourselves and unto him, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth in his name shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose upon the earth will be loosed in heaven. Because we realize that his name holds the authority. Because God has given him a name above every name. And it's at the name of Jesus that every knee, every circumstance, every situation, every wicked power, every negative and unrealistic influence must bow. Something bowed means subject to. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And that's just the way it is. And I just thank God that I know he has built me up. It's not I myself. Going to theological seminary doesn't cut it. Studying scriptures is eloquent in the way of being able to master certain topics, certain areas, that's wonderful. But it is the anointing. Are you getting this word? It's the anointing of God that breaks the yoke. We can't break any yokes.
It's the gift of the Holy Spirit that stirs within us through the power of the anointing, through the authority of Jesus Christ, that gives the breakthrough and causes it to manifest into the physical or visual realm. And it's just a blessing from God to know these things. And I know many of you are saying, that is the word that I was looking for. I was praying, I was believing, I was trusting, I was doing. But now, understand, it is the what? The anointing of God through the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority of name of Jesus Christ that causes the manifesto, the manifestation, I call it the manifesto too, to take place. And let me tell you something. Please understand, everybody is not operating in the anointing. That's why Jesus told us to watch as well as pray that we fall not into temptation or come into contact with strategies that are meant to hold us down, hold us captive. We're to be watchful. How are we watchful? By knowing the word, praying unto God through supplication, trusting in the power invested in the name of Jesus Christ, allowing God to lead us and guide us through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Teacher. This is how we're able to observe all things and know what is and what isn't of God. And I'm praising God for you that have joined in this evening. I know many of you are preparing for the Juneteenth celebration. Well, there's nothing wrong with celebrating various types of occasions, but know who is the chief of the cornerstone. Know who the Creator is, and that it is He that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we're able to ask and even think. All we do in remembrance, do of Him. Do in His name. And I'll tell you, God will bless your life from the time you get up in the morning to the time you lay down to rest at night. That's right, keeping Him in remembrance. So listen, let's keep these things constant, lest at any time we should let them slip. Glory to His wonderful name. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is great, King over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. The princes of His people are gathered together. Even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shield of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. I read for your soul's inspiration and for your listening consideration the 47th division of Psalms. And I've always encouraged you, new converts, even those who have been in the way of the pilgrim's journey for a long time, go through the book of Psalms. You will find a diversity of spiritual knowledge, of exaltations and exhortations and words of encouragement through the book of Psalms, the longest book in the Holy Scriptures, 150 scriptures strong. Yes. Well, we're thanking God for those of you who are here today, and we've been on a bit of a mission ourselves, but thank God we're into vacation modus operandi right now, and we're getting more time to be able to devote to the Word of God. And let me tell you something. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Every word. We listen to every word that our friends tell us, our family members tell us, our significant other tells us. What about the word that God speaks unto us? That is what we should live by. we should exist by, we should walk by, we should talk by, through his word. Amen? Amen. It is. And amen is the terminology that reflects confirmation and affirmation, which means so be it. And I just love this scripture. It says that God's word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. And it, God's word has a purpose. This is not idealistically so sitting there. Is waiting to manifest. That's right. And so in manifesting, we see results. That's right. So let them mock. Let them laugh and say that they believe foolishly. We believe not only the part truth, half truth, we believe in the whole truth. And the truth will make you free. When other people are bound and bogged down, the truth has liberated you, and you've turned everything over unto God. That's right. And see, the world can't understand this. This is why they're in such a catastrophic state that they're in, because they keep looking at the god of the system. The god of the system is the devil. It's Satan. He's controlling through the manipulative progressions of visible things, through the flesh manipulating individuals. We've never seen such habeas acts, criminal acts against humanity that we're seeing now. Mothers killing their children, children turning against their mothers, against their relatives, people harming children in the most insidious ways that we could never imagine. It's happening now because this world has become the system in which the Antichrist is actually manifesting itself. People say, oh, the Antichrist is the first. No. The son of perdition is the person. The Antichrist is the system of operatives, ranging from local establishments all the way to governance, through entertainment, through entertainers, through the very actions of society, globally, not just locally, but globally. It's influencing the manner in which things are being conducted, replacing truth with lies and hypocrisy. Reversing the universal order, divine order, that God has given to structure this society. They're reversing it because to them, science is God. To them, money is God. To them, power is God. But see, because power can get you money. But see, the children of God, we walk by faith and not by sight. He supplies our needs. He oversteps the barriers. He destroys and breaks down all those high places and makes them nothing but stubble and rubble beneath our feet. Then the psalmist in 91 say that what? We will what? Tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and dragon shall we trample under feet. Many of us look at this as being actual creatures. These are metaphorical statements of hindrances, barriers. Individuals that rise up out of nowhere. God has already given us the victory over them through him. And because of that, Apostle Paul said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So glory to God today, and thank you for tuning in. And let us go to the book of Genesis. As I indicated to you previously, we're going back to the Genesis perspective because we need to establish the relativity factor of why we became believers, of how mankind and creation came into existence. And it's by the mastery of God. The very first chapter of Genesis gave us a strategic layout of all that was in existence and who was the master and who is the master of the universe. It all started in Genesis. Then we can see God speaking every living thing into creation, ranging from the fowl of the air to the beast of the field, from mankind to the vegetation that we see. And we see how God created mankind to be custodians of the earth, to watch over his creation, and to govern but through a willingness to be exploratory and imperatively investigational and disobedient. It all translates to disobedience. Man took a fall. And as a result, he was expelled from the Garden of Eden because the woman chose to listen to the voice of the serpent. Tricked her. He tricked her. But then the man, Adam, which is the man of the earth that God created in his own image and breathed the breath of life into him and thus became the living soul, he delegated to listen to the woman, and he just disobeyed what God said, and man was penalized for it. Then as a result, we saw the first murder. Cain rose up against his own brother Abel because Abel was blessed of God because of his humility. It wasn't just what he gave God. It was his attitude of gratitude that he gave God. And when Cain saw how Abel prospered and he was given the favor of God, he rose up and slew him. Well, God could have spoke one word when Cain lied and he asked him where was his brother Abel, and God could have slew him. But God gave him something even more to deal with. He was not only expelled from his presence, he was still watching out for him, but he caused him to become nomadic. And he dwelled in the land of Nod, and his own civilization took manifesto. And then he learned through his mistake, as the commandments of God to submit, and we're going to find that out later on as we go through the path of learning, that he said, thou shalt not kill. And he suffered for it. Now here God's hand is looking at mankind, his eyes observing both good and evil, and seeing that the idolatry aspect of the civilization then had become so overwhelming, he said he even grieved him. He ever made mankind. And he decided he was going to cleanse the society in which they dwelt. But you know something? God is such a loving and kind God. He just had mercy upon those that even didn't deserve mercy, but that's the kind of God he is. And we went already to the very essence of Noah. Here comes Noah. Noah was a good man. He was a God-fearing man. And he is the one who loved God. And God spoke to him. See, God always prepares a tabernacle of protection for his children. And he told Noah what was coming. And that when that flood came, everything upon the earth would be destroyed. And that only every living creature, both man and beast, inside the ark would be protected and saved. So Noah obeyed God. He obeyed him because he knew what God meant. And we see that that happened in the seventh chapter of the book of Genesis. But we all understand the whole epiphysis behind the flood. It was meant to wash the earth clean. And it rained, heavily rained. Many of us see the very actions or reactions of having torrential rain. Well, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. But inside of the ark, it was dry. Because why? God prepared a pavilion of protection for Noah, because Noah was a God-fearing man. And even when Noah tried to tell the people that was coming, this was coming, the wrath of God was coming, they laughed. And even this day and time, when we try to warn others, the wrath of God is here. It won't be water, because God showed Noah the rainbow sign. He said it will be fire next time. So to those of you who have tuned in, we're going to go back to the book of Genesis. And please listen, take notes. We're going to actually begin at the ninth verse because the ark has been constructed. Noah is getting his family in and every beast of the field. Why? For procreation purposes. So he didn't get two males and think that something was going to come about in the way of reproduction. No, he got male and female of every creature to bring them inside because God is starting creation anew. This is the second dispensation. First it was the Adamic. Now we're going to the Noetic dispensation. Let's start at the ninth verse. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, and the male and the female, as God commanded Noah. That's called universal and divine order. Don't try to reverse the polarity of God's order. You're asking for destruction. So you don't have to say this and just be real about it. The people talking about these aliens and these beings that they're seeing, they're fallen angels that take on the shape of aliens. But you've opened the portal. That portal was not meant to be opened. Why? Through your demonic actions. Through using the power of enchantment. Through using witchcraft and sorcery and all of these things that are against the very essence, the very existence of God. They're defiant tools of manipulation. And you've allowed it. And so God is allowing this to happen as a way of chastisement. 10th verse, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Seven represents completeness, entirety. And the rain began to fall. And the 600 days of Noah's life, and the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. 40 represents chastisement. Think about the children of Israel when they were in bondage. 40 years. That's chastisement for resenting and going against the commandments of God. There's always repercussion. But God is so loving and so merciful, he allows us opportunity to repent and to turn away. And he installs into us mercy and grace that we continue along this pilgrim's journey. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. 13th verse, and the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. 15th verse. And they went unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in were in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. That means God sealed the doors of the ark, the windows. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Wow. So the ark was raised up into the air. Remember, God provides a pavilion of protectors to those of us who love him, for those of us who worship him and believe in him. The miraculous takes place. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went up upon the face of the waters. That means raised up. It didn't sink. It went afloat. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. All the high hills that were under the whole earth were covered. Only God can do that. When the hills and the mountains are covered, that's only God. Because see, while Satan thinks he runs the world, the system, the scripture tells us that earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and them and all they that dwell therein, that bear his mark. We're covered by him. We're protected by him. We're kept by him. And all that is consolatory of us is kept and covered by him. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Wow. Not even the most massive tsunami can cover mountains. Come on now. Not even the most devastating of typhoon or hurricane can cover mountains. Only God commanded the rains to fall upon the earth to wash it clean. And it moved upon the earth both a fowl and a camel and a beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth and every man. I mean, everything outside the ark was destroyed. Everything. Nothing remained. And in whose nostrils was the breath of life? All that was in the dry land died. The very people that mocked and said, this man is crazy. There's no rain coming. Look how fair the skies are. Look how sunny it is. Look how secure we are. We've got our good jobs. We've got our nice homes. We've got our nice automobiles. I'm talking about the present day and time now. And some of them were looking at the lucrativity that they had in that time. They had businesses as merchants, as farmers, and other aspects of society. They thought they were secure, that nothing was going to uproot them and cause destruction nor devastation. But if we're translating to the present day now, you've got people that think about, well, I've got various certifications in my job field. I've got numerous accomplishments in the academic field. I make a certain amount of income in my professional field. I have all the social gratifications needful and necessary to boost me to the top. I rub elbows with the most eloquent, the most influential people in society. I'm immovable, they think. But when God sends the judgment and it won't be water, it will be fire next time, there is nothing that they and none of them will be able to do. Because the scripture tells us men in that day will desire to see death, and death will close its doors. They will be made to live and to face the very chastisement of the white throne judgment before God. This is the great tribulation. They can't hide. They will run to a mountain, which the mountain would fall on them, and the mountain won't move. They'll go and take a weapon, an armament, and try to do themselves self-destruction, and nothing will be discharged. They'll try to go to the highest building or establishment and jump down. And when they jump down, they're still alive with no hurt. They've got to face the wrath of what they caused upon themselves. And this is the day and time that God is preparing us, his people, to go forth and to bring forth souls that are meet and fit for his use. Because the time is coming. We've already seen the great falling away, the various cults that have operated and have brainwashed people. We've seen the crumbling of our democracy. We've seen the upheaval of universal balance. We've seen that. So this is the same things that they saw in that day and time. Now everything is destroyed. It says what? And every living substance was destroyed, which is upon the face of the ground, both the cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heavens. Wow. They were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. That means that that water stayed for 150 days. Now, you've got such a high level atmospheric interference and interstellar with water that the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, are no longer in existence. Only God. Only he. Ladies and gentlemen, only he. Eighth chapter, first verse. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. That means the waters began to cede. They stopped. They began to lower the manner of which the water's levels were prevalent began to diminish. That means it started to get lower and lower because it was time to reconstruct, realign, and redesign because God had to wash the previous
establishment away. It became too wicked.
The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. I mean, it ceased. Third verse, eighth chapter. And the waters were turned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. That means the waters totally receded. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. Wow. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, and on the first day of the month were the tops of the mountains seen. Now, we begin to see the mountains. That's the first phase. And it came to pass, as at the end of 40 days, that Noah opened the window of the ark where he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth and to and fro, and unto the waters were dried up from the earth. And also he sent a dove. Dove is a sign of a peace offering. From him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. And then what happened? But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth, and he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her into the ark. And he stayed there yet another 7 days. 7 days represents completeness. That's where we use the reflection of being a week. 7 days is equivalent to a week. And again, he sent forth the dove out of the ark. The dove came back to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And that's the evidence that Noah took into consideration, that the earth is truly drying off because he came back with an olive branch. And that's why people talk about the olive branch. The dove represents peace, but the olive branch represents a compact evidence of that peace. Because we can speak peace all day long, but until you present that olive branch, it's a confirmation. And he received that confirmation through the dove. And he ain't stayed another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. That means the evidence was the dove went off and resided elsewhere, which is total evidence that all was well. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day at the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee. Bring forth three of thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of creepers upon the earth, that they may breathe abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now that's God's confirmation. This is what we call the very essence of the Noetic covenant. See, God made a covenant with Adam, the Garden of Eden. Adam failed. He comes Noah, the Noetic covenant. God promised him, never again will I destroy every living thing on the earth. So when you hear these people talking about these
hidden end time revelations they have. The scripture tells us to try the spirit, find the spirit to see whether it be of God, that every living thing on the earth was destroyed. No, God said no. Never again will he allow that to happen. God's word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. So no, that's not true. And so this is why it's important that we study the word, that we walk in the truth and know the truth so that we remain liberated and we don't become imprisoned within our minds. And therefore, if we're imprisoned within our minds, we cannot teach salvation effectively. We cannot orchestrate the very essence of the miracles of God into the physical realm in this present day and time, because we know that miracles need to happen, not only on the physical level, but within the spiritual level as well. There needs to be a definitive revival amongst believers. We need to drop it like it's hard, all these denominations, establishments, and associations, and stop trying to outdo each other, because there's only but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and that is in the name of Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father. That's who we worship, that's who we adore, and that's who we should work forward to please. Let me tell you something, it's been a wonderful time of fellowship with you. Don't get sad, get glad, because we're on vacation now. So we're going to be coming back to you again, not only on next Sunday, but as God leads us through the week, we'll be giving you the words of instruction so that you know what to do at such a time as this. This is the opportune time that God can do the miraculous, because many of us are on vacation. We're waiting to go back in August, back to our previous associations related to our employment, because God has planted us at these places. Let me tell you something. Where God has planted you in your area, stay there until he tells you otherwise. Don't move before he tells you to move, because God has something he wants to show you, prove to you, so that you can persuade others through the power of your testimony. And stay there. And thank God for it, because God is going to do the impossible with our level of income. With so much, it's going to be so much of an influx coming in, we're just going to have to start giving things away. Because God, he's showing us. He's raising up end-time ministers, end-time prophets and prophetesses, end-time leaders, who are leaders of not, niche of not always based on you being up front, invisible to people. The strongest leaders are behind the scenes praying those who are up front through, who are praying for the people of God. And you don't know, I pray for you, I pray for myself, I pray day long as I'm working, as I'm doing chores, as I'm cooking, as I'm cleaning, even as I'm shopping, as I'm doing other things relevant to what God has summoned me to do in the secular setting as an educator. I'm praying for you. Keep God's word constant in your heart so that your heart and your endeavors are pure. They don't become saturated with selfishness and with pride and image. Because, see, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. And, Lord, you know something? I thank you for an humble spirit. And you'd rather to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. For he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. But he that exalteth himself shall be abased. And let me tell you something from experience. I testify you truthfully. You don't want to become abased. Because I'm telling you, in the basement, you think it's the lowest level. No, try three levels beneath the basement. So you don't want that. So humble yourself unto God. Do what is right in his presence. Bless those who are in need. God told us to take care of the poor. The poor we have with us always. God enriches me and blesses me with financial prosperity and wealth. I'm to take care of them. I'm charged. You're charged. Now, if you don't have anything to give, pray and ask God to give you so that you can. And to those who are going and they're traveling about, who truly have the word of God in them, who are really true about salvation, we've got to finance them too. That's right. That's what we're supposed to do. And I don't know about you, along this pilgrim's journey, I'm going to walk the walk as I talk the talk. Though I'm not perfect, I love a God that is perfect. And he wants to perfect that which is concerning me and you too. And in all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. To God be all the glory
For he is worthy of honor. He is worthy of praise. And he's worthy of his name. So be blessed. We'll see you later on this week. You've got your host, Abby Phelps, known as the Esquire. Also referred to some a couple of people in inboxing me saying, I remember your mother sending my arrival. You used to do a daytime talk show with Michigan Dave Smith. Well, you know something? I hope that he's listening out there because those were the days, wonderful days. I've been with this establishment for quite a few years, and I'm going to continue on and continue strong because there's someone out there that needs this word. And it's not about establishment organizations or structures. It's about the truth being a universal standard that we all should seek. So be blessed. We love you. And give your miracle praise reports. You can always inbox me. You have my information on the Blog Talk page. Be blessed. I love you.